That's one who could teach and could learn and doesn't, and it wasn't a pretty sight. And now we're going to talk about what happens in Lamdu Maschara, which is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 lines down from the top. Lamdu Maschara. Let's say he does teach. So then what will be his reward for teaching? We know what's going to happen if Leilenu he doesn't. Gemara continues and answers Amarav Amar Sheshes, Zeche LeBirkas Yosef, Yizeche to the Bracha of Yosef, Shenemar Ubracha LeRoish Masbir Ve'ein Masbir Ela Yosef. The Masbir is someone who sustains, gives the feed. Like it says, Yosef who Hashalat Al Oret, who Masbir L'Chol Am Oret. He gave food to everybody. He was the one who sustained the whole world. The whole Klal Yisrael was just the Shiftekah, their children, and Yosef was one who was in charge of taking care of them. So Mela, someone who teaches Torah, says to Marsha over here, it's Doime that Yosef fed the Guf Lechem. Is the food for the guf, and Torah is the food for the neshama, and therefore in such an oifin, you're zeichet to a bracha like Yosef HaTzadik. He was zeichet to be the Reish Masbir, the one tremendous bracha of the one who sustained the world. So too, someone who teaches Torah in a neshama, he's feeding the neshama, he is also going to receive that same bracha that Yeshua Tzadik received as well.
What was his chus to receive that bracha?
Well, there are many different pshatim, but it could be that because he was in a situation where he was, and yet was still zecher be Yeshua. So there are many different malachim had to do it. But one thing is clear, though, that was the bracha that he was given. That was not the bracha. That's what the Torah refers to, not the bracha. So the Torah refers to him as Hu Hashalat, Hu Hamashbil Cham. It's not a bracha. It's really a psukim in the Torah. It's describing Yosef HaTzadik. That's how he's described. And there was someone who teaches in the same way, and is considered like that because he's supporting. He's giving the person his nourishment for his neshama. Now, take this Gemara and put it on the side for a second, but we're going to come back to it. The next Gemara says, "Call Amar of Sheishes called Malami Torah by Mazeh." Based on this, someone who teaches Torah by Mazeh, Zechu Malam de Oil Maboshenema Umarve Gamhu Yere. And Rashi says on this that somebody who is Marve as Talmid, he spreads out his Talmud, so Midvar Locha, so Yere Loilam, he'll be giving. He'll be teaching Torah even in the next world. This is the second place we just had on the page before, someone who sings Shira Tashem in this world will be Zerchet to sing Shira in the next world. Remember that. Now the Gemara is telling us a second fundamental statement that someone who learns Torah, teaches Torah in this world will be Zerchet to teach Torah in the next world. Remember these two things, because later on the Gemara is going to get to a third, and these three fundamental principles are going to have to be discussed. But this is the second one, that if someone teaches, now it doesn't mean that you have this share of 500 people, you speak in a big auditorium, and that's one way of teaching. There's another way. It could be with your son when you learn do homework with him. It could be with your daughter when you do Navi. It could be with your chavrusa. Some people learn with their wives once or twice a week. Everybody has their own one person that they influence, that they're mashpia, the neighbor, the taxi driver, whoever it might be, you are his malamed. Like it or not, we're all malamdim. Let alone what we have to be malamed to ourselves, that's not what the Gemara is discussing here. But every one of us, if we're zeichet to use our kaiches, our opportunities in this world and be a malamed, we will be zeche in the next world to be a malamed as well.
So what's the definition of a malamed?
So, I mean, to be very not exact, it's somebody who shares his Torah with another individual.
Anytime. One time is a malame.
It can be one time, you malame for that one time. Absolutely. Absolutely. We underestimate it. That's one of the biggest, just to go on a tangent, has nothing to do with this Gemara. One of the biggest reasons why most of us, all the time, are not really tuned in to let's just say, we don't realize our potential, our opportunities. We think that when we deal with our child, or we deal with a neighbor, or we deal with a person we sit next to in shul, it's just a social, cordial relationship. We don't realize we're malame. Everybody fits that misgeret sometime in the day, every single day. Of course, the quintessential might be the one who gives a shir, or he has a chavrusa and he's learning with a chavrusa, and he is actively helping the person. Okay, but that is what you would say would be definition one in the Webster's Dictionary. But then there are subcategories of malame. And every one of us is a malame. The truth of the matter is, if we wanted to, we could think back just within the last 24 hours. There's got to be one thing that we did to someone or with somebody that would we considered helping them, educating them in some sort of Torah Dika Eifin. And if it wasn't within the last 24 hours in the last week, it definitely happened. And we all have these opportunities. Each one of us on our level could accomplish great stuff. Could accomplish great stuff. Just we don't look at ourselves that way. So maybe we go a little bit on cruise control. But there's a little sorry, I didn't do that tomorrow. But it's worth thinking about. Being at least right now, the few weeks before Rosh Hashanah, let's be more cognizant of the opportunities that we have to be misakin different things that we can do and work on different things. It's a great opportunity. I saw in the Lekach Tov, it brings out a marshal. It has nothing to do with our Gemara, but I just got sidetracked. So I'll share it with you, even though it has nothing to do with the Gemara directly. Indirectly, it has to do with the Gemara. But there were these two people, Reuben and Shimon, and they both are very close friends, as close as friends could get. Every day they spend so much time talking to each other, learning with each other, helping each other out. And one day they decided they want to buy a car. So they both went to the dealer, and they decided on a particular car, and they both bought identical cars. They didn't want to outdo the other one, so Reuven got himself his car, whatever it would be, blue, whatever. This guy, Shimon, he went and bought the exact same model, same year, same color. Then they parted ways. A few days after that, one moved out of town, never saw each other again, never spoke to each other again. Everybody went about their business. Many, many years go by, and Reuben is sitting at a traffic light, a Ramzar, waiting for it to turn green. And I forgot to mention that these cars were fully loaded. They weren't just simple cars. They were every bit of good, everything you could think of it had. And they took pride in it. And many, many years later, now Reuben is sitting at a traffic light waiting, and he sees a car that looks same model as his, same color, but there isn't one panel that isn't smashed in. The car is limping along, it's barely able to drive straight. It's got so many problems. And it's a real wreck. His car is in perfect condition. And he sees the car up his bar, and he's just curiously, who would have the exact same car? All beat up and banged up, and the headlights are smashed. It was a joke. And he looks quickly, and he realizes that's his old friend Shimon. So he goes quickly, he drives after him, and he pulls over on the side, and he shows him that it's him. So they pull over to the side of the road, and they get out. And they embrace. They haven't seen each other in 15 years, and they said hello to each other, and they schmoozed. And they made up for lost time. For 20 minutes they stood catching up on all the old news. And then right before they're ready to leave, Reuven can't control himself anymore. So he says to Shimon, I see that you got rid of your coin. You got the same coin, just you got an older model. You got a different car. Like he couldn't fathom that this beat up wreck was the same exact automobile that they had driven out of the lot together 15 years prior. So it must have been that he found another one similar, and for some reason he was like on a second or third car. That had to be the Cheshvan. So Shimon says, no, I didn't get a new car, it's the same car. So Reuven said to him, I don't understand. Once a year, says the Bechinat Rishayon, you got to take your car to get tested. How does this thing pass? Everything's smashed up. It's not shaykh that this car could pass the test. So Reuven says, yeah, it doesn't. I just happen to know people in the Misrad Harishui, and I have to, you have to smear a little bit here and there, a few shekel, and the guy, they look the other way and they give me the stick. I put on my wheelchair, I go on. But Echanami, there's no way this thing can be. Then it's not Nageya. But you, Reuven, how do you keep the car like this? Don't you use it? I'm sure you use it. It's not a scratch. Everything's working. So Reuven says, yeah. Look, my car gets beat up also. And he says, a few weeks before the Bechanah, before the Rishayon, before that test, I bring it into the Mesech, I leave it there. I say, keep it for a week. When I come back, I want it new. And I fix everything that could maybe become a problem. I don't know anybody in the Mesrad of Rishui. Then I pay my 1,700 shekel and I give it to the guy, and sure enough, it passes flying colors. And that's why you're seeing it now. The Rishui, it was last week. That's why it still looks like this. Come back in 6 months, it's all beat up. I just fix it every year. Says the Lekach Tov. That's what happens before Rosh Hashanah. The problem is like this. There are two approaches. One guy gave up. He's so banged up and beat up and bruised, and he is so there's no chance I can get fixed up. He's just hoping that he has a little protection. If he does, okay, he gets through by the skin of his teeth. If his protection doesn't come up for whatever reason, he's up the creek. The other person knows that he can't count on protection. He really doesn't have that much of an in. So he's going to make all of his shtadlus shayach to fix this thing up, to give it the best chance to pass. So why do we go into Rosh Chodesh El thinking that no problem, Rosh Hashanah is coming, I got someone in the inn, and we don't bother doing any work? It's taking such a gamble. Because what happens is just that day, the person you had in the inn, it doesn't show up to work. You're up the creek. It makes much more sense. If you don't want to take care of it all year, which is obviously the best situation, at least hop around a few weeks before the Bechinah and be misakin the problems. Fix them up. We have so many opportunities and so much. We're all malamdim. Every one of us. Some of us go to work during the day. Okay, but doesn't mean we're not a malamdim. We're a malamdim. That is our first job. Our second job is our 9 to 5, or depending if you work American hours, maybe it's 4 to 12. But that's your second job. The first job is you're a melamed to your wife, to your children, to nieces and nephews, cousins, neighbors, whoever you come in contact with on a daily basis. That is your first, second, third job. Way down the totem pole is your eighth job, the one that you do from 9 to 5. Happens to maybe it pays the bills, maybe it doesn't pay the bills and you do it anyhow. But that's not your first job. You're a Malamed. Your best Talmud, the most important Talmud, is yourself. Because nobody loves anybody like they love themselves. That's where your Malamed job starts. doesn't end there. And it goes on to the family members, it goes on to the neighbors and your colleagues and your contacts and everybody else you come in contact with. And if someone is zeichet to be melamed in olam hazeh, he's zeichet to be melamed in olam haba, and the Gemara says that. It's not a lie. It's real. It's real. So if we want an eitzah, how to be zeichet to olam haba? Be melamed. No, you don't have to give up on your 9-to-5 job. That's only ways your second or third job. You're a melamed by being who you are. Appreciate that, acknowledge that, understand that. Realize the job comes with responsibilities and great opportunities. Take advantage of those opportunities and responsibilities. They're great, great, great achievements that are waiting to be done. We just have to inspire and motivate ourselves to hop a ride. Now, the next Gemara, and let's connect the Gemaras now. The Gemara says something interesting, I never thought about it, but it's famous pasuk, Amar Rava, Inayin L'Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah, how do we know Tchias HaMeisim from the Torah, Shenema Yechi Ruvain Val Yomois. Ruvain will live and he won't die, so it says Yechi Ruvain, if it says he's going to live, what does it have to say Val Yomois? Yechi Ruvain Val Yomois, Val Yomois Yom HaBa. So we see Tchias HaMeisim in HaTorah. Now, it's interesting to point out over here, only Ruvain, says the Marsha, had this indication in his bracha, not Shimon, not Levi, not Yosef Afilu, of all the Shvatim, only Ruvain had this hint to Olam Haba, to Tchias HaMeisim in his bracha. There's got to be a reason for that, says the Marsha. And he says a very good reason, which is very apropos for today, in the middle of Rosh Chodesh, in the middle of Chodesh El. And that is, even according to the Shita, remember there was a story that took place in the Chumash with Ruvain, with Bilah, with the beds. He moved the beds around. And there's a machlokes if he did an Aveiro or he didn't do an Aveiro. Says the Marsha, even according to the Shita that he did an Aveiro, he's still going to get Olam Haba because he did Shuvah. It was Makir and he did Tshuva. Tshuva is Mechaperes, that you, he was the one from all the Shvatim that the Torah illustrates and hints to Tchias HaMeisim during his bracha. Yechi Ruvain Val Yomois. The Koyach of Tshuva is it wipes the slate clean. It's a tremendous matana. Tremendous matana. And Maisa, these two Gemaras are right next to each other. If you want to stretch it a little, by becoming the Malamed that we're all capable of being, that maybe sometimes we don't take advantage of, we're being Mekayim the Tshuva and the Malamed at the same time. Because what's happening is that we're realizing, hey, I didn't use my Malamed potential, and I'm doing Tshuva on that, and now I'm going to start using it. We could use this as a preparation strategy towards going into Rosh Hashanah. And the Maisha, if we would understand how we're supposed to view and how connected we are to Torah, to Limud HaTorah, we would have a much easier time putting on our Malamed hat, which is our main job in life, and acting on it. I'll just share with you a mashal that Chofetz Chaim says in the Sefer Shem Olam, and it's a powerful message that we could use. It says in the pasuk, "Im tavakshena kakesef chamat moedim tach v'sena, oz tov in yiris Hashem v'das alikim timsa." The pasuk, Navi. It says, "Imtavakshena kakesef." If you will search out like money, and we'll soon see why that means. Chamatmoinim tach basena, and you will search like you search for a hidden treasure. Oz Tov Nirus Hashem, then you will understand fear of Hashem, the Das Elikim, and the knowledge of Hashem, Timson. It's a pasuk, famous pasuk. Says the Chavetz Chaim that the pshat in the pasuk, you need to explain this pasuk, because the lashon of Bikush in lashon Kodesh is to search, to seek. The lashon Chibus in lashon Kodesh, or Ivrit, means to search. Ani mechapes avodah, I'm looking for work. It means looking for. Bikush is to look. That's what the word means. Why does the pasuk switch from imtavakshenek hakesef? When it comes to money, it's a lashon of bikush. When it comes to a treasure, it's a different kind of searching. It's a kibos. Why change of? Why did the Navi, why did they change the word? It should be the same. This Chavetz Chaim in his Sefer Shemayel asks. Shemayel asks another question on this pasuk. The end part of the pasuk. It says, Oz Tovin Yiras Hashem. Tovin. Oz Tovin Yiras Hashem. You will have understand. Bina. You will have an understanding of the fear of Hashem. V'das Elikim, but the Das understanding of Hashem, Timsel. That you're going to find. It doesn't say Tovin. So the Lashon at the end of the pasuk switches from a Lashon of Tovin to Timsel. The Chavetz Chaim wants to know what this pasuk is talking about. The Chavetz Chaim says a beautiful mashal to explain this. Beautiful mashal. He says like this. He said that you have a person, and this guy is in business. He sells merchandise, and he, from time to time, he sets up his table. He puts out his merchandise in the Merkaz Mischari, and he sets up shop. And he hopes that people come by and buy his merchandise. The end of the day comes. It's 8 o'clock at night now. It's getting dark. It's time to close up shop. He didn't get that much business. Not that many people came to it. They, whatever it is. So he packs up his stuff. He goes home. And he starts thinking of new strategies. Maybe he has to send flyers around the neighborhood. Maybe he has to lower his price. Maybe he has to have a mivtza. If you buy one, you get one free. He has to start being strategic in his marketing skills to try to be creative and sell more merchandise. That's what he has to do. Now, the next day comes. And now he's a little bit more creative. He's trying to do it. Comes 8 o'clock at night again. Day's over. He stays here all night. He's not going to stay all night. Closes up shop. He goes home. And again, he's thinking maybe he has to change locations. That's one person. That's what he does. Then you have another story. You have a guy who's laying on his deathbed. He's got 5 kids. He calls them to his bedside. And he said, I have $5 million. I never told anybody. And I put it $1 million in 5 different sacks. And I buried the sacks next to this in this mountain. Now that it's time, he's going, he's gonna be dead very soon. He says, I don't want it to go to waste. So I want you guys to go and each one of you get one sack. That's your Yerusha. A few minutes later, he starts gasping for air, says his Shema Yisrael, and he dies. So the sons call the Chevra Kadisha quickly, and they pack out to go get their shovels, because they have work for them. And they go and they start digging for their $1 million. And they start digging. And they find one sack, and they're reinvigorated. And they keep digging, and they find 4 out of the 5 sacks. It's now 8 o'clock at night. It's getting dark. What did they do? Asks the Chafetz Chaim. Today, pack up the bags, go home, and come back the next day with a renewed spirit of digging? Or did they go and rent some searchlights and continue digging? Says the Chafetz Chaim, obviously, they'll dig without the searchlights. So the Chafetz Chaim says like this, such a beautiful, beautiful marshal to explain the pasuk. Only the Chafetz Chaim can do this. He says, If a person will be mevakish, Yerushamayim, Midos Tovos, Yerushamayim, and Hogo, if he will search out ways, strategies, how to be a bigger Yerushamayim, the way he would search out to try to make a living, meaning constantly being creative, constantly coming up with a new strategy, how to have more Yerushamayim, how to have better Midos. If that's what he'll do, but when it comes to Torah, he will search for it like it's a hidden treasure. Because Torah, everybody was given when their mother was pregnant with them, and they all have a reminder. If they will search out for that Torah that they once knew, that they once had, and they'll search out for it with a lotion of chibus, which is a lotion of digging non-stop, searching non-stop. It's a much stronger, chibus is a lotion of much more of detailed search, as opposed to a bikush, more of a general bikush. Says the Chafetz Chaim, the pasuk continues, Oz tov in Yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem, you will understand, if you'll be mevakish kekesef, you'll always use strategies how to get better and how to better your midos and more your shemayim. What will be the result? You'll have a tvuna, an understanding. You'll have a better tov in Yiras Hashem. But if you will search out Torah like it's a lost treasure, like you know you once had it, and you just gotta get it, reacquire it. Das elikim timsa. The end of the pasuk says, Das elikim means the Torah. And then, timsa, you can only find something that you once had and lost. You can't find something that you never had. You could find it, but that would be tvuna. I understand a new concept. Timsa is, I had it, I just can't find it now. And I find it, Yagatu Matsasa Tama, the Gemara says. So does Miyageya. After everything, Hashem gives it to him b'metziyah, because Torah Moshe Rabbeinu learned for 40 days and 40 nights, and it was hard, and he forgot it. Moshe Rabbeinu, lo yoshan, lo yochav, lo yoshan, 40 days and nights. Didn't take a hefsek, and he forgot it until HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave it to him b'metziyah. That's why it says, Yagatu Matsasa. When it comes to Torah, it's something we all once had. So then we have to look and search after Torah like those people that were searching for the treasure. They didn't stop. And they would never stop until they found that last sack. And after they're done, Da'afil Akim Timsa, after all your work, then HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives it to you for Metziah. If we would understand, this is our connection to Torah. It's much deeper than Yerushamayim and Midas Tevis, which we have to work on. Kobi De Shemayim, Chutzmi Yerushamayim. We have to work on working on strategies, and we have to constantly come up with new ideas how to better our Midas and better our Yerushamayim. That's something we never had before, and we have to acquire it from the beginning. That's Shaykh Bikush. You have to figure out when it comes to Melchamis HaYetzer, fighting the Yetzer Hara, you got to come up with Sach B'Loisav. It's like war. Sometimes you make a little strategic withdrawal to win the battle later on. Every scenario is going to have its own dynamic. that you have to deal with. But that's not Torah. We all learned Parachelik in our lifetime once before, when we were babies, before we were born. We knew Chelik. We knew every Perek. We knew every shape. We knew Kol HaTorah. And the Shamas were sitting and learning. And we have to realize that we're connected to that learning. We're connected to that learning through our neshama, and that connection is not shayich, it's to be broken. It's unbreakable. And therefore, understanding that, now we put it in our hat, we're a melamed. We have a chance now to share that and give that over. And what is the reward called melamed Torah b'olam hazeh, zecher, to be a loymed to teach? Tremendous, tremendous. It's a tremendous incentive for ourselves in Olam Hazeh and for ourselves in Olam Haba. You don't get a bigger incentive than that. And this is what the Gemara is alluding to us. And this is what is so available for us to take advantage of. I just want to share with you a story. It took place way back in the some early 1900s, not so early, 40s, 30s, 40s. Rosh Yeshiva of Yeshiva Torah V'Das in Flatbush, New York, was brought in. Shloima Hyman, Zecharei Nevracha, the Yeshiva in Europe, had come over to America, and Shaga Feivelman Lovitch, I think it was, hired him, brought him in as Rosh Yeshiva at the time. And there was one time that he had to travel to get to where Torah V'Das was. It wasn't an easy travel by subway and bus and a long walk to come to yeshiva every day to give shir. And like sometimes is prone in the Northeast in the United States, there is an occasional snowstorm in the wintertime that makes it impossible to travel. If any of you were in New York last year, you'll know what I'm talking about. On December 25th, last year, this past year, there was a snowstorm, one for the books. For the books. 3 days, 4 days, nobody budged. The snow was this high, standing up. It was amazing. There were no buses, there were no cars, there were no police, there were no fire, nothing. For 3 days, the streets, the snow in the streets were as high as this table, or a little less than this table. It was amazing. It was amazing. The snow was so high you couldn't walk. You could not walk because you had to, it was waist high. The drifts were waist high. It was ridiculous. Mamish. And it happened unpredictably and so fast. And at the same time that the sanitation department who does the cleaning was on a fake strike because the mayor had just closed a couple of their, you know, let off some of their workers to budget cut. So they were showing Kimu's boss. So they decided to take it easy at the exact same time as we had this blizzard. And I'm telling you, for 3 days, there was nothing. There were no buses. There was nothing. You couldn't move. Stores ran out of milk. It was an amazing, amazing thing. And every 5 or 10 years, you have one of these kind of snowstorms. And that particular year, they had an amazing snowstorm. And obviously, when that happens, most of the Talmidim don't make it out of bed. Forget about the yeshiva. But Rav Shlomo Hyman had to go give shir. He didn't know from the country. He came from Europe, where it would be like, you know, 25 degrees below zero in the wintertime. He wasn't fazed, obviously. He trudged out in the snow and slept for hours till he got to yeshiva to give shir. He walked in and there were 3 or 4 boys out of the tens of boys, perhaps over 100, that should have been in the shir. And he walks in, he sits down with his gemara, and he starts giving shir. Kiragil. Just like he did every single day, when the Beis Medrash would be packed. And he's fire and brimstone. He's yelling his shir like he does every day. And one of the guys is sitting there, one of the 3 guys, and he says, listen, Rebbe, take it easy. There's nobody here. You know, you don't get to yell. You don't got to get in. You know, let's do it the easy way today. You know what I mean? Take it easy. So Shlomo Hyman looked at him and he said, in Yiddish, to main stuff, meant with ear. He says, you think I'm learning with you? I'm teaching you? That's what you think. I'm teaching. Let me thank Kinder. I'm learning with your children. I'm learning with your Enoch, your grandchildren. With your future great grandchildren. With your Talmidim. With anybody that you ever teach anything to. I am teaching that person now. Because you're hearing it from me, and I heard it from my Rebbe, who heard it from his Rebbe. And therefore, it's not a matter of there's three people. There's three people here with all of their future generations and offspring forever and ever that I'm teaching here. And I should come in and take it easy. It's not shayach, you're missing the boat. You're not understanding that our teaching is not just being mashbiyah on the guy next to you. Let's say you want to teach him a halacha. That's now going to his children and his grandchildren and vayta. That's what we accomplish. That's the opportunity we have to be a malamid. It's not that it stops here. It starts here. And it never stops. They always say that the pre-Bonei Rebbe is going to have the biggest reward in the next world. Because every kid who knows how to read in the Aleph Beis is only because that Rebbe taught it to him. So everything we're learning now is who taught you how to read? Who taught you all of it? That guy, that rabbi, gets some schar. Now you don't remember who he is, maybe you do. Maybe 20 years ago, maybe 30 years ago, 50 years ago. Rabbi Victor Milichel once said that when he was 8 years old, he learned a lesson from a lady walking down the street who said something, and he always gives thanks. This lady is going to have rewards, you know, to have had an effect in a positive way on one aspect of Rabbi Victor Miller, Zecharei Levracha, meant that there are hundreds of thousands of, perhaps millions of people that learned from his tapes and shiurim and books are all sending back little nachas peklach to this one old lady in Brookline, Massachusetts, who in 1908 said something nice and taught a lesson to Rabbi. That's what it means to call him a lamed ba'olam hazeh. It's not just, I taught you halacha and I'm done. No, I taught you halacha and now I'm just beginning.
Maybe that's why it's just lit. What? Maybe that's why it's just lit.
Perhaps.
Perhaps.
Perhaps. Correct. That's a good deal. I wasn't aiming on it. But that's what this means. That's what Shlomo Hyman was teaching us. It's an amazing limud. It's an amazing limud that we could take with us and realize that's not gaiva. Hashem put us all in that position. We're all in that position. That's why it says that when Rachel couldn't have children, so she said, take Bila, Mula Ibone Mimeno. What do you mean Ibone? Yes, Rav Avigdor Miller. Maybe she'll have a child, there's Ula Yele, Nele, a lotion of birth. Ibone is a lotion of building. Rav Avigdor Miller answered so beautifully, because that is building. We build when we have children. We don't just give birth. We're building a present, which then has a future, which at some point is the present, which then has a vaitadik a future. Besides that, we are also building ourselves and making ourselves a bigger mushlam and midas. That's what it is, Olam Hazeh. It's an opportunity to be a boina, to build our generation and affect. Have an effect on, change the future generations. Everybody that we're a mashpia, that we influence, takes that and give that over. We now will malami to that person as well. What an opportunity, but yet what a responsibility. That's what we're able to do. And therefore the Gemara says over here that kol ha-malamed b'olam hazeh kol ha-malamed terva serlam haba. Now, last week we discussed kol ha-mashiva b'olam hazeh. This week we discussed kol ha-malamed terva. Next week, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to talk about the kol ha-mafarnes, the people who help support and give. That's the next Gemara, Be'ez Hashem.
What should we give to the men in the car?
You can see it?